Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
And welcome back to the Wolverine Live. I'm John Borton here with our favorite co-host, guest, whatever you want to call him, expert on all things Michigan, Tom Crawford. Tom, great to have you with us.
Always great. Expert, that might be stretching it. Opinionated, yes. And I got a lot of opinions about this Michigan basketball team. You know, I'm packing. I was just for the broadcast and did my laundry. I'm leaving tomorrow for Chicago. Trying to figure out how much clothes to take. Do I pack all the way to Sunday? Is that being overly optimistic?
Mm-hmm.
Or just, a couple change of clothes and come home on, you know, Friday morning. I don't know, you know, so it's interesting.
Well, we will talk all about that and about the need for the extensiveness of your wardrobe and all of that. You all know Tom Crawford from his press pass segments with Jack Ebling. And from his videos that he produces, engrossing videos from his Crawford Podcasting Network. And one thing that you're going to know that regulars know and anybody just joining will know, Tom Crawford has a ton of energy. And
yeah.
That is ceaseless. I'm looking to match that and someday exceed it. And that's where our new sponsor comes in. Vitamin Energy is a powerful, naturally caffeinated energy shot that nourishes your body with vitamins, supports healthy weight loss, and boosts energy for 7+ hours with no jitters or sugary crash. You know what? You can join this mission of theirs, of Vitamin Energy, to make people healthier and more energized one day at a time. It does so much in every shot. Here are some of the benefits. You get a naturally caffeinated shot, green tea extract. It's gluten-free. It's vegan. It's kosher certified, keto-friendly. There are zero sugars and artificial flavors, zero carbs. There's something for everyone. Immune and mood booster, B12, vitamin D, workout plus, sport plus, focus shots, and more. And maybe you even make your shots late in the game. That would be something that the Wolverines might want to look into. There are no jitters, no crash. It supports your gut health, energy with benefits. Let's, as Vitamin Energy puts it, let us help you get through your day and be the best version of yourself. You know, you want to look at the website and you can get on vitaminenergy.com. Use Wolverine BOGO as your code. That's Wolverine, capital B-O-G-O. You can buy one and you can get one free with that code. Once again, Wolverine, all caps on the B-O-G-O at vitaminenergy.com. And like I said, we're going to be talking with energy about a lot of basketball tonight. And we are going to be talking, of course, about what I have come to regard until further notice as team heartbreak. The Michigan Wolverines that got to the seemingly the brink of elimination before, went on a little run, got everybody excited. Okay, here comes the turnaround. And then just absolute heartbreakers in those final two games. Overtime losses, most recently at Indiana. Tom Crawford, tell me this team isn't going to continue the team heartbreak narrative when you are over in Chicago for the Big Ten tournament.
Yeah, it's, you know, speaking of jitters, I mean, watching Michigan basketball is 40 minutes of jitters. And, well, especially in the last part of these games. The land of missed opportunity. I mean, Michigan's embraced it. I mean, let's see, since we talked last, we're, you know, kind of basking in that win over Wisconsin. And then what happened since we talked last here on Wolverine Live was the double overtime defeat to Illinois. What a missed opportunity. That's the one that almost gnaws at me most, more than anything.
As it well should.
You know, once again, another scenario of the 7-point lead on the road, which was a situation in Iowa City. Actually, I think that it was a situation in Bloomington. I'm trying to, it's all blurred together. But what, you know, it's Michigan not closing the end of regulation when they had to, when they had tie game closing out, end of regulation in Champaign, end of regular or end of first overtime, overtime in Illinois, and then losing it in the final. But, you know, I thought that that was, you know, that was brained me, okay, because, well, I just want to just get one of them. Then the burden goes on Bloomington, which when I talk to former players, as I often do, Assembly Hall in Bloomington is one of the toughest places to play. Maybe it's that balcony. Maybe it's the noise. Maybe it's the passion. Maybe it's their obnoxious fans. I don't know. But I thought that would be the taller task, but doggone it, they're running the game. They got down by 14. All of a sudden, you know, they're up. They're up late.
Up by a dozen at one point.
Up by a dozen, yeah. Down by 14, up by 12. That's a 26-point swing. And yet another scenario, you know, to win it with, you know, I don't know, 14 seconds. Juwan calls timeout. And again, it's you after these plays, you say to your fellow Michigan person in your man cave, as I have a couple of them, so is that the best we get out of that timeout? Yeah, you know, yeah. And that's what, you know, Hunter with a 4-3, just like, you know, Jet with a, you know, trying to get the shot off against Virginia. I mean, my God, we can go chapter verse on these missed opportunities. You can talk about, you know, talk about Kentucky and London. Kentucky's a good team right now. You talk about down in Charlotte against Carolina. You talk about the two Indiana games, home and away. The Illinois game on the road, the Iowa game on the road, it's just exasperating.
The most exasperating Michigan team that I can remember in some time. I think one of John Beilein's most exasperating was more injuries the year that they missed the NCAA tournament after it had become customary to make it, and people were grumbling some then. But you had a couple of major injuries. This team, yeah, you did lose the guy that was supposed to be your starting point guard, and maybe we forget too easily about that because you've got a freshman that's running the show, and you need a guy down the stretch, as I've heard other people express, that wants the ball in his hands and absolutely wants to get it done. I mean, probably the guy closest to that is 7-1, though, and that doesn't always work. So, I mean, you need a Kobe Bufkin or you need a Doug McDaniel to grow into the kind of guy that can either do it himself like a Kobe Bufkin or drive and dish and make it happen like Doug McDaniel. I mean, you're almost, if it wasn't for Hunter Dickinson, you'd be sitting on a 3-game losing streak right now and another blown game, because Wisconsin, that comes down to Hunter Dickinson hitting a miracle shot to extend it. And they won that one in overtime at home, and but then you just can't. 7 points down, 2 minutes to go, under 2 minutes to go at Illinois, and you can't hang on to that, and you can't score down the stretch against Indiana. That is, again, season on the brink. You got your back is to the wall, and they have to find a better way of finishing basketball games. We got a little encouragement there against Michigan State. They did it down the stretch at home, and they certainly held off Rutgers the last time they played them, and they'll try to remember that, the good things that they did there. And then you get the miracle against Wisconsin. But these last two games, complete reminder of how this season has switched from a potential contention for the Big Ten title, as it turned out. You know, you were right there with two games to go, two games back, alone in second place, and now you're fighting for your life. And so my question to you is Tom Crawford, I gave you a thought on why Michigan can't and isn't winning close games. What's your biggest beef on that? What's your biggest thought as to why it is they are probably leading the nation, if not very close, in these close losses, these two possession or fewer losses?
Well, I look, basketball is a 40-minute game. Of course, in Indiana, a 45-minute game. And what happens in the first half has as much impact as what happens in the final stretches, right? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's like somebody's game. I mean, Hunter not being able to muffin the ball and things like that. I mean, there's been some, you know, they had 13 turnovers in this game. And decision-making down the stretch, I mean, it's like Hunter was really good, I thought, in Indiana. He had 24 and 14. I thought that was, you know, he had 11 defensive rebounds. He played a good game, okay? But when it's winning time, money time, Trace Jackson Davis would get the ball in the post, and you knew he was going to score. He had that look in his eye, and Hunter couldn't stop. Michigan couldn't match that going to their big man in the post down the stretch. And that has been the big bugaboo in this team, you know, getting Hunter the ball at that, you know, get him in a position. Now, Illinois, he got the ball, but he was somewhat out of position. It almost could have been a, you know, and he hit, you know, he released it to Joey Baker one time, and that didn't work out. But it seems like this team is so fragile throughout the game, but in particular at the latter part of the game and closing things out offensively. But I say that they're also – look at the Illinois game. I'm talking about watch the tape of the Illinois game, John. And
refuse.
Well, Taryn Shannon and TJ Jr., you know, they seem to be able to butt their way in like Jalen Pickett or dribble drive penetrate – like Wisconsin did up in Madison at the, you know, so Michigan's defense also gives them lets them down.
You know what?
Down the stretch.
Shannon is a charge waiting to happen if somebody's willing to take it, because he's going to bust the basket and run over whoever's in his way hope that a block's going to be called. But I'll tell you what, Shannon, had he been wearing the other uniform like he was supposed to be this year, would have had this team in position to win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, well, that was a play of the game. I mean, that was a 7-point game, and that was well into the shot clock. It was way down the stretch. And he made the play of the game. And he didn't even have that good of a game. But when it came to money time, he had a good game. And there's a couple other scenarios on it to answer your question. Will Cheddar, okay? Will Cheddar starts, and we don't see Terrace Reed until like at the 12-minute mark, 11-minute mark. He got you 9 boards against IU. I don't understand. You know, Will Cheddar almost had 20 minutes of action. He had a couple fouls. He had 2 points and a couple of boards. Okay, well, actually, he had 4 boards. He did, but I mean, what is he contributing you know, I would take some of his minutes and put it in Terrace's pocket. Okay. A little bit. The other thing is that you got Jet Howard, who, he had some big threes down the stretch. I will say that. Okay. But he had the second most minutes in this entire game. I mean, Kobe had 43-23, Jet had 43-22. And if you look, I mean, when, you know, and I don't mean to hate on Jet, but sometimes I like to have him lesser, you know, maybe lesser of a role, because it, you know, since he's come back, they've lost. When he was out, they won. And I know that's black and white in terms of demarcation. Oh, if he plays, blah, 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 you know, but I mean, that's reality. And I get frustrated sometimes.
Yeah, I understand. I think you can assign some of that to being on the road in two of the Big Ten's tougher venues, but also, you know, you can assign it to some of the things that you're talking about. Hunter Dickinson, you say finding ways to get him the ball. There was a time against Illinois late that he shouldn't have had the ball. He's bringing it up the court. He turns it over. It's some of that is on Hunter Dickinson to know to give it up. Some of it is on one of these younger guards to demand the ball and get open so that he gives it up. And some of it is on those guys on the sidelines in the coat and ties that say, give it up.
Well, how about the shot clock violation? I mean, the bench, guys screaming about the shot clock. I mean, how did that happen? You know, I mean, they got the rebound, they got 20 seconds. I mean, there's got to be more communication. It's this complete unravelness at crunch time. And another scenario, and we love Kobe Bufkin. Kobe Bufkin, to me, is the best all-around player on this team by far.
Right.
I mean, no one's close, in my opinion. Okay? So you have the door open wide. Thank you, Race Thompson. He misses four free throws for Indiana. Okay? And he missed the last two. I mean, down the stretch. Missed the last two. Michigan's down two with a full 4+ seconds to go. Kobe takes it down the court, and he throws it. First of all, you never give it up to a big man on a semi-break. He doesn't have the handles to handle it. He throws it to him. He's in a congested environment in the middle of the court with three guys on him. Kobe should have just held on. You know, it's your game to win and create something off the dribble. We don't have – a lot of these games you see on College Basketball Report and stuff like this, the guy, you know, they have one go-to guy who's going to create his own shot and gets it done. Now, that could have been Jet Howard. But then Kobe Bufkin gave it up, and then all of a sudden, you know, you got an awkward, embarrassing turnover to end the game. Nightmare of nightmares of a missed opportunity.
Yep. Couldn't agree with you more. One last word on Mr. Shannon for Illinois. First team all Big Ten, and I will say it again. You put this guy in a Michigan uniform like we thought they had done before some circumstances led to him not being able to come to Ann Arbor. And I think you got yourself a legitimate challenger for the Big Ten championship, not only because he's produced really good numbers, but because of the attitude, the aggressiveness, the self-possessed nature of someone at crunch time that this team really needed. And that this team really needs. I shouldn't talk about the season like it's over with. I mean, but I don't know how you develop that from the end of the season to the start of the Big Ten tournament for the Wolverines, which is 2 days away. That brings us to the whole subject of, okay, it's here now, Big Ten tournament. They have put themselves in a position by not getting one of those last two to probably need more than just a win over Rutgers and a second round ouster against Purdue. First of all, let's start with this, Tom Crawford. Can Michigan beat Rutgers? I mean, it won at the rack not too long ago, but now when everything's on the line, is Michigan going to take down Rutgers again?
You know, it's going to be a different environment than at the rack, because not only will there not be any Rutgers fans there at noon on Thursday, there probably won't be that many Michigan fans on Thursday. You know how our fan base goes when things are not cooking, if you know what I mean. Michigan basketball fan base is a show me and I'll show up kind of thing. Let's be real in the Big Ten tournament. If things look really good going to the tournament, Michigan fans are all over the place. But if they're not, they won't show. Rutgers doesn't draw. That game I'm going to be attending on Thursday at noon, it's like pick your section when it starts at least, okay? So Michigan's got to, you know, they don't have to deal with that, you know, hostile crowd, but can they create their own energy? Because there's not going to be a lot of energy, I don't think, in United Center, and they got to do it with backs up against the wall and do the same things they did up at the rack, and that's defend and rebound. And actually, Michigan out-rebounded Indiana by about 9, and they out-rebounded Wisconsin the Sunday before that. Rebounding is now a core strength of Michigan. They got to continue to do that. But it's just if it comes down to it, JB, if we're down to a one or two possession game, I mean, it's just like, okay, we had that Wisconsin game aberration, but they haven't pulled too many of these out, you know, and so that then there's that anxiety that you wonder if the players are feeling too. And then also, you know, Hunter was pretty, you know, he called those losses, that Illinois loss, devastating, whatever. How is it? Where is this leadership coming from? How is this leadership going to be? That's the key. Who's going to lead this team? You know, saying we got to get at least 2 wins, and they you know, 2 wins gives them a decent shot, or a really good shot, going into Sunday, Selection Sunday. 3 wins, and they can sleep on Saturday night. Okay, but that's a pretty, you know, that means they're going to have to probably beat Michigan State, which is a really, really hot team right now, scoring wise.
It is, but I would worry less about Michigan State than a lot of teams. I think that Michigan would be geared up for that one and has been in 2 games that they probably should be 2-0 against the Spartans this year, in my opinion, had they shot at all at the Breslin. But that aside, I find it unwise to take exception to the wise words of Tom Crawford very often, but I would like to push back just a little bit on something that you said, and we will see if this is the case on Thursday. You said, you know, it's not really, they're not really going to face a hostile crowd. Well, this is the Big Ten tournament, and if Michigan finds itself down 6 points, 8 points early in the second half against Rutgers, I think that the that place is going to sound like Michael Jordan's in his heyday, and then Rutgers is going for the NBA championship. Because why? Everybody wants Michigan to lose. They would not see it. They would love it if the Wolverines got bumped out and knew that they were not going to make the NCAA tournament in their first time out. So I think that Michigan needs to get up in this game, because otherwise you might bring the Big Ten tournament crowd into play.
Well, last year it was the Indiana crowd in Indianapolis, a desperate Indiana team. And it was obvious, you know, you're right. And that was, and Indiana was there because they were, you know, they had to win that game in 40 minutes from Bloomington. But you know what? So you've been to those Thursday games. I mean, sure. When they start out, let's be real, there's nobody there when they tip off. And you can look at all these conference tournaments on Thursday afternoon. They're all the same. There's nobody there. But you're right. Mm-hmm. They got to get a big enough lead so that, you know, because if it does come down to crunch time and the Iowa fans who play in this 2:30 game show up, or whoever survivor, Ohio State or Wisconsin, I think it's going to be Wisconsin, they show up. It's not like there are a ton of Wisconsin. Well, Wisconsin's, you know, it's not a bad trek from Wisconsin to Chicago, so they'll probably bring it. Yeah, you're right. The second half got to be up. You got to be up. You got to get that lead at halftime before people show up. What I do like about the bracket, and this goes back to following the Big Ten tournament, attending the Big Ten tournament from the start, is this fact, is that the team that plays Thursday, I'm not talking about the Wednesday, let's remove the Wednesday game, but the team that plays Thursday seemingly is in, you know, in sync a little bit more in the Friday game at the start, whereas the double bye team kind of struggles early on. Talking about Purdue, you know, and you know those rims at the United Center, they're like concrete, you know, those are the stiffest rims. I mean, it's a different kind of environment, and So, I mean, it, once again, get ahead of Purdue early on while Purdue is just kind of getting their feet wet. That might be another scenario. But, I mean, if they can win those two games, and I hate to say that, but I mean, the Michigan State game would be gravy because and I think Michigan State will survive the Iowa versus whoever, you know, survivor in that Friday game. I think Michigan State is a big threat to be that one Big Ten team to go beyond expectations. They're due, and offensively, and I've watched them obviously closely, those three guards are, man, they're terrific. And Malik Hall coming off, you know, they'd go small. So, I mean, that would be gravy if they beat Michigan State. That'd be awesome. And then, you know, they could sleep on Saturday night, totally in the tournament. But yeah. Just jumping ahead of early on Rutgers, same thing with Purdue, and get so far ahead, you don't have that crunch time crap again.
I hear you. I don't see a way that they get past Purdue in that second game.
If they
reach to it,
What makes you say that, John?
Well, it might be basketball's version of PTSD, because I have seen Michigan go to, you know, they're in Iowa, they're up, they've got this thing locked, and they lose. You did it three times in the non-conference season. You had these games down the stretch for all the reasons that we've talked about finishing basketball games. I think Purdue is probably a little more talented, a little more seasoned, and I think, you know, I'm at the point with this Michigan basketball team that I say prove it. Prove that you can finish a game against a quality team, against the number one seed.
Yeah.
And so that's where I'm at with that. I mean, and I interpret that you think one win in the Big Ten tournament's not going to get it done.
No.
I think, you know, if they beat Purdue,
they're in.
Yeah, they're in. Yeah.
Or they're likely in. And you know, there's these one bid leagues that, you know, that might get an upset, and that one that team that won their regular season could get an at large, and then that league becomes a two bid league, and then that screws a big Power Five school like Michigan, you know, trying to get their eighth, ninth, and tenth enrollees in the NCAA tournament. But I mean, I think unless you know if they beat Purdue, I mean, I'm going to be feeling pretty good about their chances. There's no question. You know, to your point, John, I've been following Michigan basketball for 59. This is my 59th season of being obsessed with Michigan football. Okay. Both Michigan football, Michigan basketball, Michigan basketball with Cassie Russell, junior year or senior year. Sophomore year, his first year. And it's like, wow. I've never seen a season like this one in terms of the missed opportunity, consistently gagging down the stretch for lack of a better term.
Okay. Know? So then the question becomes, you sounded surprised when I said, I don't see them getting it done against Purdue.
No,
Tom Crawford, right. You pull on that optimism for a minute. You tell me and everybody else that's listening in, why you think that Michigan could get it done against Purdue if it came to that?
It's like they're freaking dude. Sometimes the ball goes in, they win. But I mean, and this is the guy I've been critical about. And when I say I'm critical about, I'm not critical about him personally. I mean, he's trying, he plays hard. But, you know, I want Jed Howard to play better. And I want Jed Howard to be unselfish at certain times, but even more selfish at other times. I mean, I thought there were some times he should have been more taking some shots, and he gave it up. So I want a better version of Jed Howard. Okay. This is the end of the freshman year. And I think Jed Howard, when he gets hot, he's got a beautiful shot. I mean, if you got Kobe and Jet, I think Kobe and Jet are gonna click against Purdue. I just got this gut feeling. Here, I'm getting ahead of the Rutgers game. That's the kiss of death, right? But I mean, if they get to the Purdue game, I think Jed Howard and Colby Bufkin are going to have big time games together. And where Hunter's going to be, you know, doing that pivot pass and releasing and setting people up, and those two are the guys that are going to get it done.
All right. Well, you talked a lot there about Jet Howard. I want to talk about another Howard, and that would be Juwan Howard. And I have been, you know, fairly blunt about what I refer to now as team heartbreak, and I'm hoping that they change that nickname here over this weekend for the sake of Michigan fans. But Juwan Howard, just, you know, you hear these rumblings, people are annoyed, people are, oh, why this and that, and they start digging out, you know, the records for John Beilein's last few years and then Juwan Howard's first few at Michigan and comparing records and everything else. I think that's silly, because if you want a straight comparison, then you pick out John Beilein's first few years as a college head coach. And I get it. This is a big time, big lights, all big stage, Big Ten, all that stuff. But I do think anybody that wants to extrapolate a disappointing in some way season, unless it turns around right now, into, well, maybe, you know, maybe this isn't the direction that they should be going. I think that's silly at this point. Thoughts?
Yeah, you framed it well. You know, with John Beilein, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I snicker when, you know, they introduced at the, I'm trying to think of what game it was. Was it Michigan State game that they introduced? The 2013 game. And they introduced John Beilein. The place is going crazy. I mean, it was like a coronation. You know, Beilein's back, our savior. You know, this is when Michigan was kind of struggling. Then they won going away in the second half. It was a big win. But when you look at John Beilein, you are right on target. I mean, there were some clinker years. And I know the Caris LeVert, Derek Walton injuries in the 14-15 season, but Michigan's had some injuries this year. But you look at that 15-16 season, I mean, I was down at that play-in game. You were there as well in Ballast.
No doubt.
And they barely beat a bad Tulsa team. I mean, a bad Tulsa team to get into the field of 64, and then they lost to Notre Dame. That team was not a very good team. I'm just saying that was. And then you look at the next year, when the year that they won the two games in Indianapolis and they lost to Oregon, I think in Kansas City, when Derek Walton missed that shot. That 17 season ended up pretty good. But you remember halfway through that season? Is that I'm texting you. You remember that conversation?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Because I was not down in the Michigan State game. I had the flu. So I was home, and I was feeling sick in many ways going into that game. Because why? Because the Ohio State game that we attended on Saturday, they looked pathetic.
Yeah, not good.
Absolutely pathetic. You remember that?
No, I do.
And everybody and you and I were saying, what's the deal with Beilein? Tired of this crap, or I was saying it. You had a more, you know, obviously more sensible mind. But
well, understand, I deal with folks that are more on the edge than you. I won't bring up any names at the moment.
Yeah. So what do they do? You know, I'm bad. You know, I'm in this text at the start of the Michigan State game where I'm home. And they absolutely obliterate Michigan State. I mean, they were up by like 35. They blew out Michigan State, okay? And then all of a sudden, they started clicking, and they got to the Sweet 16. I mean, it's fragile. It's a fickle fest. I mean, we go back and forth. And we did this crap last year. And remember when Iowa and on senior day, they just, you know, they blew out Michigan. God, we're going to make the tournament. Michigan slides in at 17-14. They go down to Indy. They beat a good Colorado State team, and they beat the number two or three seed, whoever they were, Tennessee Volunteers. And they're going on to the Sweet 16, and they played hard and lost to Villanova.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like Who knows? I'm not smart enough to figure out if Joanne's a good coach or not. I really am not. I'm not.
Yeah. Well, I'll say this. At this point, it would almost take a repeat of that last year's situation for some to feel pretty good about this season. You win a couple in this Big Ten tournament, then you win a couple early in the – you extend that Sweet 16 streak, it would be light years away from the feeling that folks had after these last two games, these last heartbreakers. But that's what this time of year is all about. Can Michigan change the scenario? Can Michigan change the narrative from a team that just breaks your heart, cannot finish, to a team that, hey, you know what? At the end, they got better. We're all looking forward to next year, and you know they've done this and that late. Hey, that's what March is about. We will see it. You will see it on Thursday at the United Center, and we will be talking about it very soon. We're going to shift gears right now in the closing moments of this podcast because we need to talk about football.
Yes.
We want to talk about football. And I think what our folks ought to know is Tom Crawford sometimes has nuggets and observations that go beyond just, you know, the random observance from afar. He has special insight, and he's going to lay some of that on us tonight.
Well, you're asking me about what's that position group that I'm most concerned of? You know, and like I said before, I said last week, I've never had more higher anticipation of expectation of Michigan football than this year. Okay. Mm-hmm. But there's an X factor involved in that. But first of all, I think the coaching staff has been improved. Okay. And I think you and I, the coaching staff situation, Chris Partridge back, huge, you know, that's a big plus. So I think a second year of Jesse Minter in there, the defense, you have back-to-back years of the same DC now. That's good. His little flirtation, all these flirtations with Michigan coaches going to the NFL, survived those. But it's the receiving core that I'm concerned about because it's the only missing link. We know about tight end, and we know how great that the running back situation. J.J. McCarthy, who I think will go down as the greatest Michigan quarterback of all time. And that's a pretty strong statement.
Wow!
But I think that's gonna be the case, and I think that's gonna be created and concluded this coming year. But it's the receiving core that I've been concerned about. Okay, now there's a lot of receivers. You know, you got CJ back. You got A.J. Henning back. You got Roman Wilson back. But there's a couple of freshmen I think everybody needs to know. And I had an insider at the three-hour practice yesterday. They went 3 hours or 2.5, 3 hours at the building yesterday. They just came back from spring break. Samaj Morgan. Remember that name. He's a little slot guy. West Bloomfield. Played for Ronald Bellamy. He's an early enrollee. So remember that name. Another one is Frederick Moore. Another early enrollee. Raw, natural ability. He's an outside guy, and Michigan needs the outside guy. And the other guy I keep talking about is a guy that we were all talking about to spring practice last year was Darius Clements. Why? Because he's legitimately tall by Michigan receiver standards, 6'3". And what he, you know, this is his time. So he's like the X factor. But I still, you know, you got Roman Wilson, like we talked about, and there's another guy to keep an eye on, Christian Dixon from California. There's another name to keep an eye on. But Roman Wilson, when you look at Roman Wilson, he's not this imposing wide receiver, right? I mean, you know, CJ's got some height. But what I'm trying to figure out, and I'm asking you the question as much as I'm asking myself, I mean, can Michigan have that really deep threat from this receiving corps? Because I don't think of all the names that I've had, you know, these two freshmen are really good, but they're slot guys. Who's going to be that, you know, go route guy that's going to get separation. I don't know. Maybe it's Darius Clements, but that's been the missing link to stretch that deep. You remember, can you think about having a defense stretched mm-hmm. when you got JJ McCarthy in the RPO, you got Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum. Think about that. One other thing about receiving core, I think, and this is being kept an obvious here, I think there'd be an addition when it comes to the portal at wide receiver.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I appreciate the inside as to guys to watch, but I will say this: if you talk about a guy that will come into this season with a great deal of confidence and a quarterback who will have a great deal of confidence in him, it would be one Cornelius Johnson, and that is because of what happened down in Columbus. You do what that kid did down in Columbus, all of a sudden, everybody's opinion of you lifts that much, and your own confidence goes up. And he manufactured a touchdown by his elusiveness on a short sideline pass, and then he beat the Buckeyes deep, and that's going to go a long way probably in JJ McCarthy's mind, in the opportunities that he gets. I would say just for pure burner speed, get behind people, it would be probably Roman Wilson, but more so than Cornelius Johnson. But Cornelius Johnson has the ability to get out and get open and make some things happen.
He does, and he's highly experienced. I mean, this is, he was playing in the 2000s. He was a pre-COVID guy. Yep. Playing. He had a touchdown against Michigan State in the 2019 game. I couldn't agree with you more. So is CJ that guy? Who's the guy in the infamous red zone scenario, the Mario Manningham has been missing for 50. You know what I mean? And Ronnie Bell was the closest to that. And, there's obviously the tight end situation, that you can have that as an option. I still want a wide receiver who can run a deep slant and catch the ball. And who's that guy? And I guess it's CJ, where when to loosen that scenario up so that the red zone isn't so difficult and trials and tribulations that we've seen throughout the 2022 campaign in the red zone.
All right. Well, I do think it's going to be, when you start talking red zone, I think it's going to be one of those tight ends that really steps up. And I would not be surprised if you didn't go with a luxury model import in the person of AJ Barner, because I think that this 6'6" kid out of Indiana is going to bring it. If he stays healthy, if he can be healthy this year, he's got some real skills. And he's by far not the only one out of Michigan's ranks. You've got some other guys, younger guys that are coming on. Colson Loveland obviously had a really good freshman season.
He did.
But Barner is, you ask me if I'm looking for a guy in the red zone that could really help him out, I think he can do it.
They need a red zone. They need it in that first corner. Like everybody else's team has that guy. All those other big time teams like Georgia, like Alabama, like Ohio State has that guy. Michigan hasn't had that guy making that play. So that's why I think receiving core, and then I'm getting way ahead of myself in this offensive line. We're just assuming that it's going to be a third year in a row Joe Moore award winner because all this depth, but you're going to have that depth. I mean, it's got to sink in, right, John? I mean, we shouldn't
no doubt
automatically assume that's going to be, a well-oiled machine.
Yeah, I like the fact that they'll have three starters back together. But the fact is, you are plugging a couple of new guys in. It might be one of the younger guys that has been battling. It might be one of the guys. What you know is you'll have a lot of competition.
Yeah.
And you'll have guys absolutely fighting for their football life this fall because, this is a great opportunity with a great offense, with a great team, and that these guys that have come from around the country to be in Ann Arbor this fall want to be that guy. And just as much so, the guys that have been fighting it out behind other people want to be that guy. You're going to get that competition. Hey, before I let you go, one more question for you, and I've got my own thought on this. I want to know, Tom Crawford's, if you could pick any one individual off this roster to keep a special eye on in spring ball or spring game, who would it be and why?
Both sides of – you're talking about
– either side of the ball. Nope, just one guy, one guy.
Well, I mean – and I'm probably being way too obvious about it. I just think Will Johnson is indeed close to the, is going to be the closest to the next Charles Woodson we've ever had. Now, I don't know how, you know, when you say spring ball, you know, what that means. I mean, is it in spring game? Or are we going to see that? Or are we going to hear about it from the coaches? I just think he's going to be incredible next year. And everybody's going to say, well, thank God he's only a sophomore because he'd be going to the NFL. Because I think his skill set is unbelievable. And I mean they would, you know just all the hype going in, he was a five-star and that's all cool and everything, but the back end of that year, I mean, I was just starting to isolate on him, on how mm-hmm. he was doing mm-hmm. his position, his backpedaling, everything. And dude's a player, man.
No doubt about it. And you know, here's the ironic thing, we have not talked about this. You knew the question was coming, but you didn't know my answer. I didn't know your answer, but we just completed the potential cornerback slots, because my guy that I'm keeping a close eye on is Amarion Walker,
who is
up for that other cornerback spot, in to the extent that Jim Harbaugh was talking about him as a starter, at least at this juncture of spring ball.
Yeah.
Here's a kid who has the length, has the athleticism to be physically – give Michigan two of its most gifted cornerbacks in a long, long time. And so it's interesting that we both went for that spot, but we looked at it. I mean, you're looking at it as – you know, that your guy has proven himself and you just want to watch him blossom even more. And I'm looking at the other side and thinking, hey, if this guy is as good as they're talking about, think about what Michigan will have in terms of being able to lock receivers.
Well, with Walker, I mean, go back to, this is going back to a basketball player, Maceo Bastin.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
Arms were down, albatross arms. Okay, they're long. This is Walker's. Watch him, and I mean, he's got long arm. I mean, you talk about length. Mm-hmm. This guy's got crazy attributes to him, from what I understand. And I mean, what didn't he do the three cone drill? What wasn't there one drill that he just blew it up?
Yes, it was. I think it was three cone.
Yeah, and it's like, wow. I mean, and you can have a simple, you know, drill like that where foot speed is showcased that can really be a telltale. And yeah, a position of strength, the defensive backfield, and obviously the safeties as well. And you got Mikey Samer still. I mean, who's the ultimate leader on that team? Mm-hmm. He is the leader in a lot of ways. It's gonna be a good defense. It's gonna be a good team.
Going to be a good team. Tom Crawford and I both have our binoculars trained in the defensive backfield as the spring game approaches. But everybody for Michigan has their eyes trained on the United Center, on Chicago, Illinois, on a noon tip between Rutgers and Michigan. And to see what this crazy basketball season still has in store. Tom Crawford, appreciate you joining us. We will have a whole lot to talk about next week as we see this play out, not only the Big Ten tournament, but also the selection process in the NCAAs and what that has to do with Michigan, if anything.
Well, I hope I'm heading back to Chicago with smiles, at least with an automated, you know, that just knowing in my head that Michigan's going to be in the tournament on Selection Sunday. I'm not sure if they'll get to Sunday, but I think they're gonna win a couple of games. I'll go out on a limb and say they're going to beat Purdue.
Either way, we'll be talking about it next week.
All right.
Tom, thanks for being here.
Thanks, JB.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.